Well, it's my privilege to invite our speaker this morning, Scott Harris, who is one of our own. He certainly has served one of the roles, many roles as an elder. He just came off as chairman of the elder board. He's going to be speaking to us this morning. So, Scott, I want to invite you to come on up. In the short time that I've gotten to know Scott, I know that Scott is a man who is thoughtful in how you process things, but a man of great wisdom and great passion, and he wants us to know what we believe. And so, Scott, thanks for being here. I think we're going to get the podium up here, and we invite you to come and share God's word with us this morning.
I titled the sermon today, Delusions of Righteousness. You know, having kids growing up around teenagers and such, I used to ask them the question, when you ask your friends around the lunch table at school, do they believe themselves to be worthy of heaven? Are they going to heaven in your opinion? And they would say, yeah, you know, they all believe that. And so it's kind of interesting. After a while, I used to call that the church of the pretty good, right? Hey, we're pretty good people. We're Minnesota nice. But this delusion of righteousness is an impediment to the truth. So this morning I'm going to be talking about where are we really as it becomes our human nature? Where do we stand, in fact, in the eyes of Christ? And in case there's some skeptics here that would say, Scott, if you're just going to depend on your Bible for information to make the case, what if I don't, well, believe in your Bible? So I'll point out a few things outside of biblical evidence that is just evidence in this world to make the case that we are not really pretty good. George Barna recently did a survey. He asked 1,000 people if they believed in heaven. 76% of them said they do. Well, I think that's good news. When you consider a pretty steady diet of naturalism in our school systems and in our media, we're still truly hanging on to this innate sense that there is something more. Now, it gets interesting. He asked that same group of people, do you believe you're going to heaven? And only 0.5% said they're going to hell. Only 0.5%. Now, back to the title of the sermon, A Delusion of Righteousness. They asked the Christians that were a part of that survey, those who would identify as born again by biblical definition, do you believe there's another way to heaven outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, right? The saving work of the Lord. 50% of them said yes. Now, so part of the delusion, as it were, is not just them out there, but it's us in here too. There is this sense that we're pretty good people. And here's how the math probably works. God is good. I'm pretty good. Therefore, God will let me into heaven, right? John Calvin rightly said, we can't really aspire towards him, God, till we've begun to be displeased with ourselves. And Soren Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher of the 18th century, remarked, only through the consciousness of sin is there entrance into heaven. And to wish to enter by any other way is the crime of treason against our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've ever get a chance to go on your YouTube channel and look up Ray Comfort, just Google up Ray, Living Waters. Ray does a lot of street preaching along with some of his fellow evangelists in Huntington Beach, California. So just to refresh myself, I went on YouTube here a few days ago and I was watching a number of these discussions he had with people on the beach. Ray brings the gospel to the beach. And almost inevitably, everyone he starts out talking, he always asks a question, are you going to heaven, amongst a few others? And almost all of them say, yes. And then he asks them, on what do you base your hope? Right? He's getting there. And they almost always say, I'm a pretty good person. Right? And then he starts going through the Ten Commandments, and he says things like, have you ever stolen anything? Well, yeah, I've stolen something. Well, what does that make you? Well, that makes me a thief. Well, have you ever told a lie? Yeah, I've told a lie. What does that make you? Well, liar. Have you ever lusted after anyone in your mind? Because Jesus said even lusting of the mind is an adultery of the heart. Well, yeah, they say. Well, what does that make you? There might be a better place for me to stand. And he said, that makes you an adulterer. Have you ever used God's name in vain? I mean, just like the OMG. And I was there going to watch this. Yes. 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 He says, what does that make you? A blasphemer. He goes, let me make sure I got this right. You're a lying, thieving, adultering blasphemer. And I only have 4 of 10 so far commandments. His goal is to help people understand that the critical element of coming to a saving faith in Jesus Christ is to knowing one's need of him. Until we come to that place where we sense we have a need of Christ, we're not going to have much interest in Christ. In Matthew 11, when the Pharisees were watching Jesus interacting and having a meal with Matthew and his friends, they called him the tax collectors, the sinners. The Pharisees said to Jesus, his disciple, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he, being Jesus, heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician.
Temple. system that had been handed down to them. They believed they were in. So when Jesus says, you only do, trust me, follow me, and I'll set you free from your sin, that's a real says, rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. The Jews were not responding. They weren't hearing the truth. Jesus goes on to tell them that if God was your father, you would love me. What he's saying is Abraham believed and loved God, and if you were truly Abraham's offspring, truly spiritually speaking, if Paul will later say the true offspring of Abraham are those who are spiritually speaking, those who have, like Abraham, belief, trust, faith. If you want to be children of Abraham, you've got to be like Abraham. You've got to imitate him. Paul says, imitate me. Jesus said, imitate your father, Abraham. You are not his offspring. Period. Well, he goes on to say, More, but I want to get to a couple of studies, and I want to talk to you about the one thing that you could, somebody could say to me, but Scott, in all the examples you've given up here, isn't it fair to say that if we had a certain environmental cultural influence here, isn't it possible that we had just simply always been creating evil? Because if we were born good, if we could just set up a different environment for the baby, it could be sad that we could finally produce a utopian system, a utopian culture where we would do what's right because it is right in us. So it's the government, culture, the churches, otherwise we're messing people up. That's why you give it genocide and messes. Is that true? But they couldn't say that and they have a right to challenge, don't they? So how do you ask a baby, tell me about your nature? Our true nature. And if we could figure it out from the most untouched Deserve peace.